Non-local, part 4, the Cashmasters of Pixel Fjords. Saving his breath for the next level, Sunshine digitally approaches a standardized inky-dank portal that will take him back to Brick's undiscovered server world on the Pan-Arctic role-playing game, the Cashmasters of Pixel Fjords, which has recently been incorporated into the Cosmic Constant MRPG multiverse as an alternative reality sub-program. Bricks and Verde played Cashmasters as part of his high school curriculum in Alaskan studies. There was a pedagogical movement in his early teens wherein video games were employed to teach students about Alaskan culture and history. The object of Cashmasters of Pixel Fjords was as horridly boring as the 64-bit graphics it sported. Players went around a video game map of Alaska and the circumpolar north, collecting various items of importance from the different regions, going to villages, fish camps, islands, and cities. It was an eagerly designed educational synthesis of sad graphics and the blandest aspect of video gaming, collecting things. Brick, just like Sunshine, had always liked the two-dimensional look of the old-school video games his grandfather used to play, with their quaint abstract graphics and opaque simplicity. Pixel Fjords was a happy little piece of his high school experience, even though it looked like an insane hamster from the 1990s made it. Ultimately, the design of Pixel Fjords was as good a way to educationally illustrate the different cultural items the peoples of Alaska traditionally used. Every player has a cache to be filled with various collected virtual items from around Alaska, as well as other locations in the Arctic. Chilkat blankets and cedar baskets in the southeast, umiaks and cuspics in the north, beaded gloves and storytelling knives in south central, wooden shields and bentwood hats in the southwest. It was a real video game as education classic, the Dick and Jane of expanded media, with a nostalgic look reminding most middle-aged Alaskans of their old high school social studies classes taught with video games. Sunshine's Pixel Fjords character, or Cashmaster as they are known in the common gamer's tongue, is an odd throwback of types as well. It is a Harpo Marx rendering in a 64-bit Nintendo style reminiscent of the antique Super Mario Brothers. He is playing in Marx Brothers mode, a plug-in mode designed by one of Brick's outlier cousins, the rather unfortunately monikered Muffin Mandala Verde. Sunshine has virtually adorned his large nose and bushy blonde-haired Harpo avatar in a traditional 64-bit style Sagpiat outfit. It is completed with a bentwood visor sporting walrus whiskers over the top, seal-gut parka, and muklucks, which all crush together in the squat stylish rendering of this video game squirt. Sagpiat Harpo is armed with a wooden shield and an enchanted, heat-seeking harpoon. Sunshine has also put a magical wood frog totem spirit inside the visor, which his character can pull out as a last-minute insurance policy. Hinderet of Norway, Sunshine's online friend, is playing Chico Marx, which he has outfitted as Siberian Shaman, which means long tangled hair decorated with tree branches, made to look like antlers, and various necklaces, which contain the tongues of his spirit animals and a rounded pair of what could best be described as ghost overalls, which float in glitch paraphrases around his character, occasionally catching on fire or burping the holophrastic utterances of the ancient arcade games and shooting keyboard keys from a neon cord keytar slung apoplectically over his right shoulder. Wherever Siberian Shaman Chico walks, he leaves a trail of burning ectoplasm which slowly dissipates into smoke in the form of luridly stereotypical musical notes. Amanda Pete, gently touching her new haircut that frames her face better, has agreed to join the online quest in Pixel Fjords as a feather-dancing Groucho Marx in a raven mask. With his distinguishable grease mustache, a silly suggestion, and the dark black beak of the mask of Corvus Corvus, his feather fan gently moves in beautiful, solid, pixelated motions as he dances around the virtual world, periodically pulling a cigar from behind the mask and flicking the two-dimensional ashes, making an arcade blip-blip sound. The feather fan in his right hand gives his character the power of flight, making a twinkling bell-tolled glee when employed. The only real tell that Amanda's character is indeed Groucho is the trademark gait, where he is bent halfway over and walking sideways, while staring knowingly through the fourth wall. The gait fixed the raven motif, and Feather Dancer Groucho is a glorious appointment to the video game adventure squad. Two unknown players have joined Sagpiat Harpo, Siberian Chico, and Feather Dancer Groucho in their old-school Pixel Fjords quests as Nordic Zeppo and Black Metal Gummo. One dies early on, and the other meets a girl in the game, and switches to private mode pretty quickly, so I'm barely mentioning them. The multifarious players are currently in Tarpville, which was not one of the levels in the original educational version of the game. Tarpville, was added several years later by a virtual reality hacker. One has begun to correct the perceived cultural inconsistencies in several video games. Homeless drunks and a gun-toting rednecks are inserted in several levels, as were well-meaning tourists, reality show film crews, and college kids doing nature documentaries. Tarpville was made out of one of the old villages that used to exist on the Kenai Peninsula, but has since turned into a ghost town. All of the digital models used to make up the background of the level were covered with tarps, digital snow allowed to accumulate over them as the years carried on without a look. The North Slope level took some major hits from the virtual reality hacking as well. The current version of the game has the entire North Slope under the watchful eye of a sleeping dragon, with a gigantic evil-action diesel generator who years ago sucked all of the oil from the ground and has threatened to catch fire to the ICC if not appeased annually, with the talent show Come Human Sacrifice. The dragon, called Hal, which has all of that oil in his fecund belly, which has driven him even more insane over the decades of greedy corporate solitude. Hal is said to be able to spit oil fireballs from all the orifices of his scaled and sulfurous body, which is covered with corporate fossil fuel logos like a schizophrenic NASCAR racer. Additionally, the North Slope level is plagued by a rogue army of amphibious tupilex, made from the compromised bones of all the dead victims of domestic abuse in the Arctic. They attack entire villages where they torture the populace to death, leaving desperate hordes of newly undead tupilex amalgamated from the bones of the village ruins. The virtual reality hackers initially added simple new items to the metacache, such as bottles of vodka, machine guns, barrels of oil, ice pipes, and tubs of Crisco. Eventually, they started rewriting entire levels and player modes. Player modes are where the strong distinction between shamans and witches or wizards is drawn in the sand of Pixelfjord's video game logic, and it is a binary one. Shamans are good, witches and wizards are bad. When Pixelfjord's was originally designed, all players' avatars were the students themselves, whose avatars could be stylized any way they wished and connected to the student's academic account in the network, where it would be tracked for educational improvement and safety violations. In the hacked version of the Cache Masters of Pixelfjord's that is now part of the Cosmic Constant MRPG multiverse, players can either be animal ancestors, shamans, or ancient reluctant conscripts, a term taken from the Haida artist Bill Reed when describing one of his characters in the famous sculpture Spirit of the Haida Gwai. It is composed of several magical animal ancestors from the Haida pantheon, including Mouse Woman, Raven, Bear Mother, Beaver, as well as Good Bear and Bad Bear. They are all huddled on top of each other in a large sea canoe with one anonymous human paddling, of whom Bill Reed referred to as the ancient reluctant conscript, the human whose job it is to do the living, surviving, and procreating of the people. At the end of every level in the hacked game is an evil witch or wizard who has denatured and destroyed the environment of the level. All of the bad guys defeated by players to get to them were controlled using black magic and pseudoscience. All of the buildings or structures that get destroyed by the players reveal hidden natural items, like fireweed springing from busted concrete, or sandhill cranes nesting in old rusty army vessels left over from World War II that rot preternaturally slow in the landscape. Every level that gets beat is a correcting of the environmental degradation and destruction by loggers, takers, and miners. There is one level that restores an ancient salmon spawning ground, and one that is an enormous berry patch that goes on into infinity. There are bird sanctuaries, held hostage by a demonic winged warlock who vomits curdled milk and carries a fiery sword. In an ice field under the scourge of a fat, lazy wizard riding a behemoth sectional sofa with a mind of its own who throws searing evil junk food at every living thing he sees. One level sports a hideous cannibal witch who lives at the bottom of a lake and mutates every animal that drinks from it. These mutated animals become evil themselves and begin to exclusively eat their own kind. After the initial hacking, several other identity correction activists have taken a turn at the code of the Cache Masters of Pixelfjord's. While in high school, Muffin Mandela Verde hacked a new option beyond animal ancestor, shaman, and ancient reluctant conscript, pataphysician. It was a ridiculous and pointless hack, inserting people from the mid-20th century who are connected to the College of Pataphysics, an obscure art society dedicated to the teachings of the fin de siècle French author Alfred Jarret, who coined the term pataphysics in his Ubu cycle. The roster of pataphysicians one could be in the game included Alfred Jarret, on bicycle, all five Marx brothers, the great Saint-Domingue, Boris Vian, Marcel Duchamp, Jean Ferré, Eugene Ionesco, M.C. Escher, and the two reptilian members of the college, Matamata and Lutembi. There was a secret mode inside of Jare's start screen, which allowed for Sub-Rosa gameplay as characters from his novels, including Ubuwa, Dr. Fastrol, Pan Muf, Bosa Denage, Caesar Antichrist, and André Mercure. Currently, the three Marx brothers in full pics of Fjord's regalia traverse the treacherous Tarfill level. Amanda is private messaging Sunshine about going to a death metal wake this weekend. Bim Bum Bam is playing at Potlatch Projects. She has a new side project she is working on. Amanda let him know. Segpiak Harpo takes off his bentwood visor and out jumps a wood frog totem, inflating from a small pebble-sized thing to a gargantuan croaker the size of a house, flicking its glinket graffito tongue at the sky, releasing slowly falling snow, covering all the villains on the screen, turning them into carrot nose, sticks for arms, snow people, which are quite easily dispatched. "Let's get to the portal," Sunshine says to all three of them, speaking into the microphone at his mouth, a sheen of potato chip grease on his lips. The one with the sign that says, "No butt nuggets allowed unless you intend to rock the fuck out." "I'm in," he messaged to Amanda, who smiled all alone in a room, as the three of them virtually walked under the sign modeled and left by 16-year-old Brixton Verde as his scientifically exceptional cousin named Muffin Mandala several years ago in the hot educational video game called The Cashmasters of Pixel Fjords.